Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. I'm Phil Gigliotti, and I'm here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Steve. And, wow, we are back after a long absence.
Yes.
And not only are we back after a long absence, but you will now be hearing us on The Gift of Grace every week, every Saturday evening at 7 p.m., except occasionally when the radio station has another event on. But in general, we will be on every Saturday evening, and our friend Denny Carlton, who is a friend of both of ours, will not be doing the show anymore, and we certainly want to thank Denny for all the years that he did do The Gift of Grace and for getting us involved in it in the first place. And Steve and I are just really happy to be more involved in the show and to be with you every weekend from now on.
Yeah, we just think it's going to be a wonderful opportunity to share God's Word with you and bring people to salvation. And, we want to thank Denny for all that he's helped us with along the way, and we're going to miss him. Yes. And we wish him well in his new endeavors.
Yes. So. And since this is the first show, and, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when there's a new season on TV or a new season on, I don't know if radio shows have new seasons, but TV stations have new seasons. I mean, this is really a new season, and this is going to be kind of, you know, the new rain, the first rain, and hopefully a big harvest will be brought from this. And we are really looking forward to teaching God's Word and going over a lot of the ideas and concepts and just really powerful words and teachings that are in God's Word, you know, which of course is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be talking about that. We're also going to have some interesting people on the air off and on that we'll interview that are ministering the word and spreading the kingdom or doing some interesting ministry that you think you might be interested in. And that will all be coming up. But since this is the first show and the new season, and since the show is going to continue to be called The Gift of Grace, we thought we'd kind of do a show tonight on some general things that have to do with grace. And I wanted to start out with a question, since the show is called The Gift of Grace. What is grace and why is it a gift? I mean, we talk about gift of grace, and you've been hearing us talk about it for almost 2 years, and you heard Denny talk about it for 8 or 9 years, And the word grace gets really thrown around a lot. It doesn't matter what denomination you're in, what part of Christianity you belong to. It doesn't take long before you hear somebody talking about grace, and it becomes one of those words that everybody's just so used to hearing that, you know, you kind of get used to it as a word, and you don't always think about the concept and the deep meaning of it. And I want to start, before Steve and I get into this, I want to start with a very short reading that all of you will know, and it's from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and it's from verse 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And that verse from the book of Ephesians really has both the words grace and gift.
Mm-hmm.
We're saved by grace, and it's not of ourselves. It's a gift, and that happens to be the name of our radio show.
Amen.
So I thought that was a good verse to start the new season on, and whether we're on for a few more weeks or a few more months or few more years, it's always a good verse to start with.
Because it's all by God's grace.
Amen.
Yeah, no, that is an awesome verse to start with, because the gift that God gives us, the gift of salvation, is a free gift. We can't buy it. Right. No amount of money can, you know, you can't purchase. There's not a price for a man's soul. Mm-hmm. And if there was a charge for it, then it wouldn't be a gift and it wouldn't be free. So
that's right.
Then you can earn it.
Right.
And as Paul says, you know, it's free. It's a gift of, it's the gift of God's grace so that no man can boast.
That's right.
In his own works.
And I always kind of have this image in my head about boasting, where there's a group of people in heaven and the first person says, well, let me tell you why I'm here. I'm here because I did this ministry and I did Bible studies and I had a church. And the next guy says, oh, that's nothing. I gave my whole life to the ministry and I was on the mission field in China for 50 years. And the next person comes back and says, oh, that's nothing. Compared to what I did, I went to the other place and I did this and I did that. And then Mother Teresa comes by and says, oh, you guys, I'm Mother Teresa. Do you know all the stuff I did? No, there's going to be none of that in heaven. You're not going to hear any of that because everybody's there by the same way. Everyone is there by the cross. Mm-hmm. And in this verse from Ephesians and many other places, Paul talks about there's no room for boasting.
Not at all.
We can't boast about anything. And when you think if we got what we truly deserved, we wouldn't be boasting about anything.
No.
So yeah. We really aren't in any position to boast.
Yeah. What was coming to me was where, you know, Jesus is talking to his disciples about, a lot of times the disciples would ask, well, who's the greatest one and who's going to be sitting at your right hand and left hand, you know, right side or left side and those types of things. So it was prevalent even at the time of Jesus.
Sure.
That there was this, hey, who's, you know, who's the Lord's favorite, those types of things. But that we were, you know, we simply are called, God's called us with a, he has a plan and a mission for us, and he's called us to serve him in that way. And by serving God and following what he wants us to do, we're just doing what God is asking of us. We're not doing, you know, like we're unprofitable servants.
Yes.
And by doing what God's asking us to do, we're just simply fulfilling his command.
Yes.
And being in God's will and ministry it's where you want to be.
Yes.
Because God's going to be with you. And if
exactly.
if I'm not doing what God wants me to do, then I'm kind of out there on my own, trying mm-hmm. to do my own thing, even though I might think that I'm doing God's will.
Yes.
And you can sometimes see the fruit of that, or you get into a desert and you're like, wow, why is this dry? And not that God wouldn't lead you into a dry place sometime to really form you and test you.
Mm-hmm.
But in ministry, you just want to simply, you have to trust in the Lord. And that trust, developing that sense of trust for God and his plan for you, is not always easy. It takes a lot of, you know, I think sometimes it takes a lot of time to really mature into that.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Know?
And I think as we go through certainly this program and many programs to come, I think those of you that are listening that maybe in all different parts of your spiritual walk and all different levels of understanding about what this is all about, I hope we can help you come to a better level. And as you were talking about the unprofitable servant, and you know, what comes to my mind is, and it doesn't matter which denomination you're in, because they're in every denomination, you've all met people that say, well, I go to church every Sunday and I put money in the collection, and I think I'm doing pretty well. I've been here for an hour. Yeah, and one time I was even here for an hour and 10 minutes. And, you know, the attitude almost is that, well, now God owes me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, after all, I didn't have to come.
I gave up my Sunday morning for this.
That's right.
I didn't go to soccer practice.
That's right. And I think as we go through this program and others to come, you'll see why that makes absolutely no sense at all.
Yeah.
And that the overall scope of what we're talking about, the overall condition of that we find ourselves in, is just so overwhelming that that kind of thinking, hopefully you'll see, is not very important.
Right. You know, it's the things of the world that really vie for our time. Mm-hmm. And in my own walk with the Lord, I know that at times, you know, at first it seemed really easy. And then as time went on, there, you know, there were some struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've really come to understand, I think by God's grace, is that I have to choose to love him from my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's given me the free will to choose. He's never taken that away from me. And as time goes on, the more and more I see, it's like I see the choices before me. Which one am I going to make?
Yes.
And almost a testing, you know, that you're worthy, obviously by the blood of the Lamb, mm-hmm. but that you're worthy, you know, a worthy servant for the kingdom, mm-hmm. that you're going to do what he's asking you, whether he's, you know, whether you have that warm and fuzzy feeling or not.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Can't go by feelings. But
can't go by feelings
at all.
You
know, since we went over this verse from Ephesians where Paul writes that grace is, that it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. You know, many of you just got Christmas presents a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And I always thought it was a good analogy of, you know, when somebody gives you a Christmas present and you open it, do you ever say to them, oh, how much do I owe you for this? Or, gee, can I come over to your store and work for you for 3 or 4 hours to, you know, pay for what you bought me? No, it's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
They give it to you wrapped and they say, here, this is from me. This is a gift. And this is what we're going to be talking about. You know, many people feel that they have to earn their way to heaven. And I think Americans have a harder concept with that than many other people, because we're used to working hard and doing whatever we have to do and earning money and buying what we need and getting ahead and getting da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So you have this idea that, well, if I work hard enough, if I do the right things, if I pay the right amount of money, you know, if I follow this line of things exactly how it's set down here, then it's going to be good.
Yeah, and trying to be self-sufficient.
Right.
Is a real,
exactly.
You know, culturally, a lot of us try to be self-sufficient.
Yes.
And while that couldn't be a good thing, does that impede our progress for relying on God and trusting in God's provision for us? You know, that's culturally something I think we struggle with.
Yeah. And you know, a question I was going to ask is, you know, how did we get into this mess? I mean, what is the problem? What is this problem all about? Or do many of us even know that we have a problem? Do any of us even know that we're in a mess? And like everything else, it starts in the garden. It starts in the Garden of Eden. And, you know, when you were talking about, you know, people have been doing this for centuries and millennia, people have been doing everything for centuries and millennia,
exactly.
Because human beings are always the same.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any thoughts or weaknesses or, you know, wrongdoings that all the other billions of human beings that have ever lived haven't had before. That is not the first one.
Right. Our generation is not the first one to have these problems.
That's right.
Or to be confronted with.
It's a little different now that the things are glorified, but we're certainly not the first generation to do it.
Yeah.
And so we're, you know, in the Garden of Eden, of course, there was rebellion. There was the mm-hmm. fall.
Pride.
Pride. Pride leads to most sins.
A whole lot of stuff.
Right. And so when humanity falls, we find ourselves living in a fallen world.
Mm-hmm.
And so our minds are darkened. You know, we did a couple shows last year from Romans chapter 1 about your mind gets darkened.
Right.
And you think you're being wise, but you're actually a fool. And, you know, people go through their life with sin problems and, you know, darkened mind and fallen nature, and it all sounds pretty depressing. And the question is, if you recognize your situation, you say, there has to be a way out of this.
Right.
There has to be a way to be delivered from this. There has to be a way to salvation. And immediately after the fall in the garden, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God promises a way of salvation, promises that a redeemer is going to come who's going to crush the head of the serpent. And that's before Adam and Eve are thrown out of the garden. So before they're punished, he says, there's a big problem here now that I'm going to fix.
Mm-hmm.
You two can't fix this problem now.
Right.
Because the earth was cursed. The universe was cursed. They were cursed. I mean, everything was cursed.
Right.
And things had to be put in motion in order to rectify this situation.
Right.
So that at the end, things are going to be back to the way they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
We're not at the end yet, but, you know, Bible study is very easy. You know, there's a beginning, the man falls, and at the end, everything's fixed.
We're more than halfway there.
Yeah, it's more than halfway there.
Because Messiah's come, so.
That's right.
He's won the battle.
And you know, God gives us his word as a way to understand how this plan of salvation unfolds.
Right.
And it's so important to study the Bible, to study the word, because not only does God show you how the plan of salvation unfolds, but he reveals himself in this word.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important for people to read the word, because God, you know, why do we believe what we believe?
Right.
Well, it's not just because we pulled that out of thin air, but it's because God has revealed it to us through his prophets, and he chose Israel to be a light to the nations.
That's right. Absolutely right. And we're not going to go through the whole plan of salvation, but we're going to go through, you know, I just want to go through some highlights of this because, you know, as we've said before, many people said, well, you know, I don't like to study the Old Testament. It's really boring. God was really mean. There's all these names, all these battles. Who could stand all that? But everything there prefigures Jesus. Everything there prefigures what the Christ is going to do when he comes.
Right.
And after we have a break, I hear the music coming. After we have a little break, we're going to start talking about covenants that God made with humanity. The two main covenants, which are law and grace. And since the show's called The Gift of Grace, and we're living after the cross, we're in the covenant of grace.
Amen.
And we're going to take a break now. We're going to let you listen to some awesome music by Paul Wilbur. And then when the break is over, we'll tell you a little bit about this music and we'll go on with the rest of the program.
Please stay tuned. The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliani and Steve Garchar. We'll be right back.
The Lord, I will save my people. I am saved.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here with Steve Garchar. And we hope you enjoyed that little musical interlude. Steve, why don't you tell him a little bit about that?
Sure. The music you were just hearing was from Paul Wilbur's new CD, Desert Rain. It was recorded in Israel last year at the Feast of Tabernacles. And a couple of the songs are called Zealous Over Zion, Why Should I Be Afraid, and the last one was called You Are. And those are available at Wilbur Ministries, at wilburministries.com. Paul's been an Integrity recording artist for the last, I think, 20 years. And he's been on the show. And he's a good friend of ours. And they're awesome. They're really anointed songs. And Paul is really an anointed worship leader.
Amen.
And if you like that music, it will bless you. And if you want to order those CDs, you can order them from wilburministries.com.
Yes. And there are many other great CDs as well.
Yes.
But since Steve and I know them all so well, it's we'd be hard-pressed to say which ones we like the best. Although Desert Rain is amazing.
Yes. They keep on getting better.
Yeah, they keep on getting better. So, back to our lesson. So, we talked about how we got into this problem, and, you know, for God to fix the problem, and, you know, it's commonly called the sin problem. The sin problem is such that God is perfect, all holy, and all just, and we are not. We are not holy, we're defective, we're not just. And we cannot approach holiness in our fallen state if we're left, to our own devices, if we're left on our own. And this is why in the Old Testament you read about how the people are always separated from the holy things. There's always the veil, the separation between the holy things and the people who are not holy. There's a barrier that exists, which is sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked many times about the fact that if God just said, well, I don't care about sin anymore, we'll just forget the whole thing and everybody's forgiven, then his nature would be violated of
right.
being all holy and all just. And as the plan of salvation unfolds, he makes a covenant with the chosen people through Moses, as Steve alluded to, and that is a covenant of law. And if you read through the book of Exodus, chapters 19, 20, 21, you see how Moses gets the law from God. He's the lawgiver. And he gets not only the Ten Commandments, but he gets 613 laws, which God says, if you follow these laws, you'll be righteous. I will be your God. You will be my people. So the relationship is one of law. Kind of like when you have children in your house and you say, this is the rules for living in this house. And if you don't follow these rules, there's going to be punishment. And if the people didn't follow these rules, there was punishment.
Right.
And when rules were broken, the only way to be acceptable to God, to be righteous, was to follow the law, which nobody could do. So when laws were broken, there were blood sacrifices to atone. Blood, animals were killed,
mm-hmm.
gory stuff, blood everywhere, blood sprinkled on people, sprinkled on the altars, sprinkled on the holy things. And blood was the only way to make atonement. This was prefiguring what Messiah is going to do. And the other part of the plan was that the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ, was going to have both. He was going to be both God and man. He was going to have both natures in the same being, 100% God, 100% man. And in order to have the human nature, he had to have humanity like we have humanity. He had a real body that was born from Mary, grew up, went through all the things that a normal human body goes through. He was hungry. He was tired. He had to sleep. And that body has genealogy starting with Abraham.
Right.
And God picked the people. Part of the reason the people were picked was to give Messiah, Jesus, his humanity, so that Jesus is physically descended from Abraham and from Isaac and from Jacob and from Judah.
Right.
And from King David and all the way down.
Right.
And so when Messiah comes, he has both natures, and all the sacrifices that were prefigured in the Torah now come to him as the perfect victim, and the reconciliation is made. The atonement is made. The forgiveness of sin is made through that blood rather than the blood of animals.
Right.
And in the book of Hebrews, you know, it says that the priest went through the veil with the blood of bulls and goats, but now Jesus has gone through the veil with his own blood, which can't be matched by anything. It's the final sacrifice once for all, so that sin can be forgiven and that we can be liberated, because now we're saved by grace and not by trying to follow all the 613 laws.
Right.
So a new freedom comes to mankind, to those that are going to follow him.
Right. As you're talking about, there's always the veil. There's always a separation from God. In the Old Testament, when there was an acceptable sacrifice, well, mm-hmm. in the temple, there was always the veil, mm-hmm. and the priest would enter the Holy of Holies, yes. offer the sacrifice. If it was acceptable, then that curtain, mm-hmm. that veil would be opened. And as Jesus was on the cross and he died, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, mm-hmm. that no human being could have done. Mm-hmm. And the Holy of Holies was exposed.
Yes.
And that signifies the acceptable sacrifice that Jesus made for our sins, mm-hmm. acceptable to God the Father.
Right. And yeah. the symbolism of it also was that now the separation was gone.
Right.
And also in the book of Hebrews, it says now we can approach boldly.
Boldly.
And not only can we call God Abba, but we can approach boldly,
mm-hmm.
because the separation is gone. Because of what Jesus did on the cross.
Right, because of his blood.
Right. And so we're going to get another great reference from St. Paul in the book of Romans in a second. But basically what happens then is when you're trying to justify yourself by following laws, Paul says you basically become a slave to the law.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're always thinking, okay, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, and I got to do it this just right. And I got to do that just right, and I got to go get this ready to do just right. And you literally become a slave to the law, trying to be scrupulous. But now, Jesus came and in his humanity fulfilled the law completely, died this horrible death. And, you know, as you all know, I often ask people, you know, if they've seen the Passion of the Christ, because it's such a brutal, horrible, bloody death.
Right.
And when, you know, the times in the Gospels where Jesus says, you know, I'm the only way, no one can come to the Father but through me, I'm the only way. When you see that movie, you realize, number one, what a horrible thing sin is, which our culture has not only minimized, but now it's become almost irrelevant.
Yeah, we've lost all sensitivity to it.
Lost all sense of it. It's like, oh, I don't know what that means. You know, everybody's good. But that is the only way that sin can be dealt with. There's no other way sin can be dealt with. And, you know, if there are 58 other ways to go to heaven, then Jesus was a fool to go through that.
Right.
But the fact is, there aren't 58 other ways to go to heaven. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that's why this sacrifice had to be made. This was all prefigured in the Torah and the prophets, and it liberates us. It doesn't mean that the law is irrelevant. It doesn't mean now that we don't have to worry about moral law. But the condemnation from the law, we're relieved from.
Right. And Jesus didn't come to abolish the law.
Right.
He fulfilled it.
Amen.
He fulfilled it. And in our culture, and I think we're the only culture to ever experience this, but people want to be free. We want freedom. And in being free, being freed from sin by the blood of Christ doesn't, and even though God's grace, mm-hmm. by God's grace we're saved, mm-hmm. that doesn't give us, you know, we just can't go back out and sin whenever we want and do whatever we want and say, okay, God's going to forgive me.
Exactly.
Because that's where we go back under the yoke of slavery of sin.
That's right.
If we fall back into it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even though Paul says in Romans that where sin abounds, grace abounds more, and you know, that's amazing.
Exactly.
Because in my humanity, and probably in your humanity, when I fall and sin, now my natural inclination is to say, oh, now I did something terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Now God doesn't like me as much as he did 5 minutes ago.
Right.
And now I better not go do the radio show today because I did this thing. And, you know, I better cancel the Bible study for tonight because, you know, now I'm not worthy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you know, where sin abounds, grace abounds more.
Right.
But on the other hand, you're right. It doesn't give us a license to presume, well, I'll just go do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And I'm saved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, you're absolutely right because we have a freedom that comes now because, you know, Jesus as the high priest, he was the priest, he was the sacrifice. And there's a, you know, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 is the verse I was alluding to a little while ago, where it says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. In other words, the condemnation that was due to us from the law, he nailed to the cross.
Right.
So if I violate a moral law, I can repent and be restored.
Right.
The penalty's already been paid. It was nailed to the cross. And then the last part of that verse is, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them. So in other words, the principalities are, of course, the demonic powers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the demonic powers can also use the law to their advantage. Because when we go through our lives, you know, violating laws here and there, you know, some pipsqueak demon can show up and say, well, Phil, you know what? You think back what you just did an hour ago. You think you're a Christian? Steve, what about yesterday when you told that guy, you call yourself a servant?
Right.
And they just keep attacking you with this because you broke the law. You broke the law. You did something wrong. You did something wrong.
The devil really likes to beat us with the big stick of discouragement.
Exactly.
And in our culture, you know, something that I commonly see in our culture is that when a Christian falls, secularly, they go, look at that person who said they were holy, they sinned.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, even though that person has sinned, and they are right, they have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
So is the person who's pointing out.
Sure.
They've also sinned too. They're just not as sensitive to it.
That's right.
They're sensitive to the other person's sin.
They have different sins, but they all have sins.
Right. So in our culture, you know, being a Christian does not mean that we don't fall.
That's right.
We have the understanding that if we ask for God's forgiveness, he's going to restore us through the blood of his son and bring us back into the fold just as the parable of the prodigal son. And that's, I think, something that as Christians, we need to reach out to those who don't believe and help them to understand that gift.
Yes.
That gift of grace.
Yeah. And that's right. And it's so important that even to people that know the Christian faith and, you know, call themselves Christians, it's also important to reach out to them. Or sometimes just to remind them mm-hmm. of what grace is all about.
Yeah.
Because it is a, it's easy to get caught up in your own little life and get caught up in your own little ideas.
Right.
And we are, you know, St. Paul says, you know, you just have to keep preaching Christ and Christ crucified.
Right.
You got to keep preaching that.
Right.
Because, you know, people forget what that means because you've heard it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
You say, oh, yeah, I know about that.
Right.
You know, Martin Luther said you have to keep hearing the gospel because we're so mule-headed.
Right.
You have to keep hearing the gospel.
got to tell us over and over.
Over and over again. And so sometimes people say, oh, you know, that guy's always talking about the same thing.
The Israelites were not the only stiff-necked people.
That's right. You know, yeah.
We could wander around a desert for 40 years.
That's right. Nothing new under the sun.
No.
Yeah. And so it's good to reach out. It's good to remind people that this grace is there and that we're living in the time of grace.
And I think as followers of Christ, as Christians, we need to understand, have a good understanding of what does it mean to be an adopted son or daughter and to be heirs to the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is just, you know, when I think about it, it's just so overwhelming because everything that God has, he wants to share with us.
Yes.
Because he sent his son to restore that broken relationship and to be an heir to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just awesome.
Yeah. And Paul writes in Romans and Galatians that not only can we call God Abba, which in the Aramaic means daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I often point out in teachings and tell people that there's nothing in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, that God says, just call me daddy.
No.
That's unheard of.
Right.
He calls himself father. He says, I'm the father and so forth. But it's a very formal, there's no daddy business. But now Paul says, you know, the Holy Spirit says to our spirit, just call him daddy.
Right.
And that is through the sacrifice of Jesus that we're able to do that. And he says that now we become heirs.
To the kingdom.
To the kingdom. Yeah. As adopted children. Jesus is the real child, the real son. We're adopted sons and daughters. So we're heirs to the same kingdom, to the same glory.
Right.
Way different than trying to follow 613 laws.
Amen.
Oof. I got pretty excited. Well, we're coming up on another break here. We're going to let you listen to a little bit more music, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Please stay tuned. The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliani and Steve Garchar. We'll be right back.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here with Stephen Garchar. And Steve, you want to say something about the music we just heard?
Yes, those songs are from Desert Rain. It's the new CD by Integrity recording artist Paul Wilbur. And the songs you heard were You Are, Blessed is the Lord, Behold the Lord, and Salvation Belongs to Our God. And Paul actually talked about that song with Paul, Behold the Lord, yes. Which is from the book of Revelations, chapter 15.
Mm-hmm.
Very anointed worship. And if you want to order the CD, you can go to wilburministries.com, and the title is Desert Rain.
Mm, very good. And you won't be sorry that you bought it.
No.
Even if you're not familiar with Messianic music, this is the CD for you to buy.
You'll be very blessed.
Oof. And speaking of websites and things, we don't have a website yet, but we will shortly, I hope. But we do have a Facebook page. Yay
for Facebook.
So if you go on Facebook, if you're a subscriber to Facebook, if you don't, just get a new account. It's free. I'm not advertising Facebook, but it's all free. And all you have to do is register. You can become a friend of the Gift of Grace. And we started a page just a week or so ago, and we can keep you informed of what's going on and what we're going to do on the air, and we'd be happy to hear your feedback as well. And only if it's good, though. We don't want any kind of negative feedback. But so that will be on Facebook, and it's called The Gift of Grace. And there's no pictures of Steve and I there because we don't want to, ruin it right off the bat.
Yeah.
but we just have a short segment left. So since, we ended up the last segment talking about Romans and Galatians and Paul saying now we can call God Abba and that we're adopted children and we're heirs. Romans is such an amazing book because it just is probably the, I don't know what you want to call it, like the constitution of Christianity, but it's amazing because of course Paul, St. Paul was such an amazing writer. And, even though, of course, Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, the personality of the human author still comes through.
Right.
When you read Romans, it's just amazing what the language of it, the sentence structure, the grammar of it is just really powerful in itself. But Paul makes the case about this transition from law to grace. And in chapter 3, he says that because of the law, everyone is guilty before God. I mean, everyone is guilty. There's nobody listening out in the audience tonight that hasn't violated the law. Steve and I have violated the law. All the people here at the radio station have violated the law. Everyone you work with has violated the law. And we can go on and on and on. Your family members, you may like your family members a lot, but they've all violated the law.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says that the whole world is guilty before God because the laws have been violated. So he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh can be justified because we're all in violation of the law to begin with. And he said the cool part of this, though, is Romans chapter 3, is verse 20 and 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. So there's a righteousness apart from the law. And this is what grace is, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, because the Tanakh, the Old Testament, through the Torah, through the prophets, prophesied that this was going to happen. The Jeremiah 31:31 is the best example. There's going to be a new covenant. The law is going to be written on our heart. Not on, stone tablets, could be written on our heart.
Right.
And this is the new covenants. And it's, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the turning point, the cross, and then faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross. We always talk about the culture that we live in, and, we're very well-educated in general compared to people in the past, and we know a lot of things. We're, very sophisticated. were, you know, evolving, very sophisticated. And, you know, if you go tell a group of intellectual people, whether they're scientists or government leaders or whatever they are, business leaders, and you say, you know, your whole destiny depends on what you think happened on the cross where a man 2,000 years ago was executed, they're going to look at you like you need to be in a mental institution because it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And Paul says, if you don't have faith in that, you're not going to be saved.
Right. And many times we've talked about on the show that Paul says, you know, the cross to those who have faith, it's salvation, and to those who don't, it's foolishness.
That's right. Exactly.
And that's a stumbling block.
We should do a show on that.
We should do a show on that.
Yeah. You know, he says we've been justified freely by his grace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really overwhelming. And, you know, many times we have to tell people that when you study the Tanakh, when you study the Old Testament and you see the law, you really can appreciate grace a lot better, a lot more. You can see what Jesus did. You can see the transition that takes place. You see how that plan of salvation evolved. And for those of us that are on this side of the cross, we can look back and say, wow, this is awesome.
I think it's pretty easy for us in any culture, if you forget history, or if you forget, you know, it would be like if you forgot your family.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you come from?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's right.
And you didn't know your family lineage or your history. You know, you're just here all of a sudden. You're kind of like Melchizedek. You know, he just appeared. He just appeared in the Bible
without a father or a mother.
Right. So if we don't understand the history and salvation history, to be precise, then we lose our heritage, because as baptized Christians, we are part of the family of God, and we have to know our family history.
Yes.
So to speak.
Yes, and that this is the way into the kingdom.
Right. It's the only way into the kingdom, as you were saying.
That's right. And in fact, even in the first chapter of John, which is probably I shouldn't say I have a favorite part of the Bible, because everybody will say, oh, you. But probably one of my favorite parts of the Bible is in John chapter 1 and 16 and 17. It says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Moses was the lawgiver. He was the mediator of the old covenant. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. He's the high priest. He's the sacrifice. He is the new covenant, which is the gift of grace. He already paid the price for what you've done. He already paid the price for all your shortcomings, your weaknesses, your defects, your everything as you go through your life.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole overwhelming part of this is, of course, in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son.
Right, right.
And that shows the depths of the love, and that grace is, in fact, a gift. And I think, you know, I'm not speaking for Steve, but I think this is a great title for a radio show, The Gift of Grace, because it is just overwhelming to think in our humanity that we can have this gift.
Mm-hmm. A free gift.
A free gift.
A free gift for salvation. You know, as you're talking about one of your favorites, you know, maybe passages in Scripture, the one that the Lord has placed on my heart many times is from 1 Peter 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins in, you know, really verse 6, for it says in Scripture, behold, I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in it shall not be put to shame. Therefore, its value is for you who have faith, but to those without faith, the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that will make people stumble, and a rock that will make them fall. They stumble by disobeying the word, as is their destiny. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Wow. I think that sums up what we've been talking about.
Yeah, because we are called, you know, as we receive God's mercy, we are called to proclaim that. Mm-hmm. And God's mercy is glorified through that.
Mm-hmm.
That we're called to tell people, what has Christ done for me, you know, to share that. And that's how the gospel is proclaimed.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that's a great verse because it absolutely ties together everything that we've been talking about.
Well, and, you know, the other one that I really come back to a lot is Jeremiah,
mm-hmm.
where the Lord says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and this is in chapter 1, verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, mm-hmm. I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you a prophet to the nations. I appointed you. Ah, Lord, I said, I know not how to speak. Mm-hmm. I am too young. But the Lord answered me, say not, I am too young. To whomever I send you, you shall go. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Have no fear before them, because I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord."
Yes.
You know, and then there's another, I think it's in Jeremiah 22, where he says that he's, you know, the plans that God has for us are to prosper us.
29.
For our welfare, not our woe, mm-hmm. and to prosper us.
Yes. Yes. But the greatest thing is the gift of grace to have eternal life. That's
exactly.
The greatest gift any of us can get.
You know, Sandy and I were talking with a friend of ours the other day, and she was over in Israel, and her and her friend were ministering to this one Arab gentleman,
mm-hmm.
and he's being very cordial with them, and they said, you know, we have to get him a gift. What's the greatest gift that we can give him? And they both said, salvation. And they witnessed to him, and he received Yeshua, Jesus, as
Amen.
Messiah.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was awesome.
That's how the kingdom grows, you know?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're coming up to the end of the show here. Hear the music going again. And it's been great being here with you. And as I said at the beginning, we're going to be with you every week, except not next week. But in 2 weeks, we'll be back. And then we'll be on every week for the most part after that, which is going to be really exciting. And it's been great being here with you, and I hope you have an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow, and we'll see you back in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. Have an awesome Lord's Day, everyone.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks, and God bless.